I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast celebrating its 100th episode live from Baldock Services. Yay!
Yeah. Baldock. Big
well.
Up. The century.
The century.
Someone kindly pointed out the Toyota century. Now is the best time to celebrate a small accolade in the world of our podcast with a Toyota century.
Well, based on my last look for Toyota centuries, of a sale online, which was about 2 days ago.
No, it's not long ago.
There's that one that's always... Oh, what was that?
Something it's my beeped. Hourly chime.
Yeah, there's that one that's always on Car and Classic, but it's not actually for sale anymore. It's long since sold from that place in Middlesbrough.
Oh, I thought you were about to listed. Say... I thought you were about to say it's for sale, but they won't sell it anymore. They're one of those people that has a car for sale... They vet you first. They go, yeah, it is for sale, but you're not right for it. So I'm going to wait a bit longer for somebody else.
Wasn't that Britain's leading Nissan Figaro seller for a while? Was this woman who had sort of cornered the market in second-hand Figaros?
Yeah.
But she wouldn't sell you one if she didn't like you.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of cars these days which require a salesperson to be like that. I'm going to put the words BMW M Sport out.
Yeah. Well, many years ago, I was at some function, like an awards thing, sitting next to a PR from Aston Martin. And I said to her, you know, you need to be more aggressive about refusing to sell your cars to certain people. Mm. And then you can corner the market in selling cars to people who aren't twats and leave the twats to Bentleys and Lamborghinis and things. And she...
Fair.
Yeah, she sort of steadfastly refused to acknowledge the points I was making, and it all got a bit awkward because I was like,
"Were you drunk,
no, seriously?" Though? Yeah, I might have had a wine.
So were you a bit close to her face when you were talking?
it was a bit spitty. Just kept,
you kept yes, leaning in.
If I just kind of agree with everything you're saying, will you stop gossing on me?
Yeah.
Are here at Baldock Services, which is sort of our spiritual home.
Worryingly, it is.
Because we used to meet here when we made videos.
Yeah, and if you're a listener of this and you've never watched the videos many moons ago, I actually can't remember when we started doing the videos. It's bad.
4 years ago?
It's got to be four.
I reckon we had 2 years of videos before COVID came along, and now we're at about 2 years of podcasts.
So we did. We used to do a weekly... mildly successful video. I'm going to use the word mild. The mildest of cheddar. You know when you go into the supermarket and it's extra mild? It's that.
I don't really like cheese. Have you got anything milder?
Yeah, so it was that. And we used to film it in this car park off the service station. It's not the best motorway services. There's nothing distinctive about it. I'm looking over my shoulder.
I think that's partly what we like about it, though, isn't it? It's mediocrity.
It is.
It's not one of your big, flashy, showy Warwick services. Oh, look, no. I'm quite new. I'm Oxford Services. Look at my glass atrium shit.
Oh, no. And there's no artisanal bread.
No.
Like Gloucester Services.
No. Or, I always forget the name of that really nice one.
Not the one in Kendall that looks like the 60s spaceship.
Oh, no, the one further up that's... someone will write in about this. Yeah. The one that's like a farm shop, basically, and it's delightful.
Oh, yeah, I might go there next week.
You can buy...
swing in.
Eccles cakes and stuff there, really nice.
Oh, like northern cakes?
Yeah, northern cakes.
Oh, brilliant.
Just have a stop off for some northern cakes and
a pickled egg. And a pipette of water, because strong northern men don't drink water.
I don't know, I wouldn't have the water at all. Maybe just a handful of sand and then...
And a tea bag.
And a tea Or leave the tea bag in so long that the tea actually will stay in the cup
it's
if you
gel.
Turn it upside
it's
down.
Tea gel.
It's tea gel.
Isn't it? It's gel. You can do that. You can tip it upside down and tip it back really quick and it'll be all
take
right.
Take the bag out. No, leave it in till it becomes a meal.
The tannins are strong in this one.
Yeah.
That's their Obi-Wan Kenobi line.
good for you.
And then they smile at you and their teeth have gone from white to brown in one cup of tea. That's it.
Or like when Simon Cowell had his teeth done and they were too white.
Yeah, it was just full beam really with LED
freaky,
matrix
and he
headlights.
Should have just had a nice cup of proper northern tea. and that would have taken them down a treat.
Yeah, Simon Cowell's messed around with his face a little too much now. Now you don't know. You don't know what the baseline. You don't know what the baseline tune is anymore. Same with Madonna. Yeah. Don't know what's going on. What's going on?
Yeah, Madonna's probably now impossible to return to stock, isn't she? She's just like it's modding too far.
Oh, completely.
And I
stock.
Is she? There were those pictures.
She's in her mid or late 60s.
Yeah, no, those pictures of her sort of semi in the nip the other week, weren't there?
And like under warm, a bed?
Under a bed, where she just looked like she'd lost. So she's like, where are those fucking shoes? I knew they're somewhere. The only reason I go under our bed, I think.
Do you know what? I genuinely thought, I thought she'd tripped and fallen. You know?
Well, she has a history.
And you always get told when you're learning about medical matters, don't move the person, just in case they've got a terrible spine injury.
But she'd gone under the bed. Like, she must have fallen while running.
She tripped forward and gone under. But wasn't she wearing, like, underwear?
Like pants, yeah. Just
she was
pants,
wearing some sort of sexy lacy pants or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was half sexual... Or trying to be.
Half 999 incident. Say half, it was half a Rosper advert.
Yeah, well, there's been all sorts of incidents. I know that usually it's the fire service that see all the weirdest stuff. You know, like some guy that's just put...
Oh, yeah.
Just put his penis into a tap.
Yeah. So I fell backwards onto the banister. That's what happened. I fell backwards onto...
I told you this before, but my mate Dan, who's a radiographer,
says
the stuff we get in, it's usually on a night shift, and he works at the Bristol Royal Infirmary. Hmm. So obviously they only look after people that sort of were alive in the 90s. And this guy came in and he had a full height hairspray can wedged into his backside.
Oh my god.
And he couldn't get it out.
Did he still have hairspray in it?
Do you know what he claimed? This is the best thing. Dan said, it's just not a surprise to me anymore. The bloke just genuinely said, I slipped over while I was showering myself.
Of course.
And it fell up there. And he just went, just so everyone's clear, A, hairspray in a shower, and B, it's nearly a 10-inch tall can. And he said, how big's your shower? Because if you've got a small square shower pan,
you're going for a really quite a smooth... Yeah. So anyway. You've got like a walk-in, a wet room maybe. That would explain.
Oh, it could be wet room. In fact, that's a John Peel session, wet room Jackson.
Two more from wet room accident after this. I have a lot of questions and I don't know whether I should ask them about that. Was the cap on the hairspray?
Yes, it was. But the problem was, I think when they removed the cap, the cap stayed.
Yeah, yeah.
So it required another medical... intervention.
But better that in a way than the cap being off, and as it went up there, then it triggers the top, and the bloke's ass cavity is now just filling with hairspray. I mean, he'd be like a powder keg, wouldn't he?
please don't. I've just realised, because it's our 100th episode, I did actually bring along a cheeky little bottle of brut that we could just throw a bit on.
Oh.
I've realised, I think it's under the microphone.
Oh, well, don't move the microphone now. That's probably...
We're actually sat in a Tesla Model Y.
Yeah.
And I know, I should have probably mentioned that.
We are. So we're at Baldock Services, which, for people who don't know Baldock Services, perhaps because you don't live in Britain, it's a small service area on a sort of not proper motorway.
Yeah.
It's on the A1.
The original Great North Road.
Yeah. The original trunk road, the original sort of long-distance road in the whole of England, and
Dick
and
Turpin
Scotland,
used
I guess,
to hang
goes
around
up
on
there.
Here.
Yeah,
the highwayman.
Mm. It's like a main road, but not proper motorway at this point. It sometimes becomes a proper motorway, then gets bored of that and becomes a road again.
It's the most proper motorway near Peterborough. Where it goes into four lanes.
It's like four lanes, isn't it? Eight lane, like super highway.
Feels almost American.
Yes, because it's very flat landscape.
Flat landscape, four abreast, quite new tarmac, and for just a bit. And sometimes you see military police, you know, US military police.
Sometimes you see American cars because of the American service people.
Yeah,
really. So I sometimes like to complete the effect by driving on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I saw a couple of months ago, I saw a lady weaving in a Honda Odyssey.
Oh.
With obviously an American import car with American size number plates on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think she might have dropped something in the footwell, but was doing that sort of twitchy.
The Odyssey's a nice looking car, I think, as MPVs go. It looks very planted, sits well. I've always admired those as MPVs go. I'm not going, oh my God, best looking car in the world. For me, it's between the Alfa Tipo 33 Sedali and the Honda Odyssey. But as
Straydale. Which is what I used to think it was.
There's speaking of which, there's a Ferrari 360 parked over there in this car park.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know why that should be. It's just, it feels like it's too sexy for Baldock Services.
Yeah, and since we frequented this, there is a rapid charger network at Ionity.
Mm.
Charges over there. I can see an ID3 just giving itself a refuel.
Mm.
And
ooh,
what?
My up's coming. You know, I said the lease company claimed they'd got stock, and I was thinking.
And you're thinking? I hope you're calling not fibbing. BS.
It's coming just before the end of the month.
Oh wow, that is soon.
Basically, next week.
So your Porsche will have gone by then?
I hope so. If you're listening to this on the day it goes out, my Porsche auction on collecting cars ends this evening. So if it's
you're
not too late to
sell,
do a cheeky bid.
You're just trying to sell your... See, here's me having never owned a Porsche. You're just trying to get rid of yours. Well, like why some don't you sort of like
buy
trying to get
mine,
it like getting rid of the ingrowing hair on my neck that I haven't been able to get rid of for some time. It's one of those ones I think the more self-surgery I've tried, the worse it's definitely got.
Yeah, that can happen. I'd imagine it's the same when you've accidentally shoved a hairspray can up your bunghole.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, there's so many things in the world that you could pop up your jacksie if you so chose, but a hairspray can.
But a tall one.
They have
their
flat tops.
It's flat top. It's not like a can of... you know, like whipped cream, which tends to have a domed.
You know when they're doing like home improvements and they have those jacks they put under door, like under lintels and stuff, to hold them up while they're dicking around with load bearing.
A bottle jack.
I feel like you need one of those to get your.
Oh, I thought you were thinking that was a great alternative.
Well, I don't know, but
you're just gonna walk around like the paddock at a motorsport event and go, that would fit in my arse. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Look at that nose cone off an old Benetton F1 car. That'd go nicely up the old
where
pipe,
the sun don't shine.
Where the sun don't shine. Yeah, no, just
I don't. I mean, it's not what I was expecting us to talk about.
But that's
I was going to talk about scale working engines.
Oh yeah, why do they go? Mate find one up someone's arse?
No, but
is that a spinning Jenny up your bum?
But it could power something like that. You know those stationary engines at agricultural shows? My brother has one. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
They you want to always demonstrate them powering something. Well, I mean, it would be a little bit Pornhub if you went to a traditional steam rally.
What, with like an enormous...
It's a bloke with a lister.
Enormous machine-powered dildo.
It's got a flywheel that's about 400 kilos. And it's just pistoning this all... Well, there's another bloke just spooning goose fat onto the area.
Oh my God!
Just going, it'll do this all day. It'll do this all day.
Now, Ken, we've had some complaints from the other exhibitors that your static engine's too sexy. It's Well, it's got a massive false cock on it, and we're just there's kiddies at the show. Ken, come on!
Yeah.
There's kiddies. It's a family event.
It's on a cam. I know that you whittled it with your wood lathe, but it's very realistic.
It's dirty. It's very dirty what you've done here, and we're going to have to ask you to leave if you can't. The mayoress practically fainted when she saw it.
Oh yeah,
you dirty bastard.
Imagine, you're turning a steam rally into a sort of smutty event.
Well, you know these sort of clubs, these little clubs, it happens a lot, I think, in car owners clubs, sort of one make things, where some, you know, there's factions, and sometimes there's almost like a sort of bloodless coup, and a different faction will will take over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, sort of a Porsche club will suddenly get overrun by like 944 enthusiasts, and all the 911 people get a bit huffy.
They'll get annoyed about it.
Which I think there really was with one of the Porsche clubs. There was some kind of massive sort of coup.
But that's sort of racist. Is that Porsche racism?
There's a bit. Yes. Yeah, I mean, but they're not very accepting of others, are they? The Porsche people. It's like, you know.
So if I had a 914, if I went, oh, I've got a 914, they go, that's just a VW engine Porsche, and you know it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So therefore, you're not really with us because it's a flat four.
Yeah, but you know, like how birds of prey often you see them getting like attacked and chased away by crows. And
it's
Fuck off, crows! Leave that majestic kestrel or whatever alone. I reckon you turn
they surround it like MiG fighter
jets.
Yes,
they do.
And they peck each side. They go in. They swoop in. Mm. It's incredible to watch.
Yeah. But I think if you turned up with, you know, like a 959, thinking you'd be king of the club, actually you'd be like one of those beautiful birds of prey. Where I think the lesser Porsche owners, they'd start pecking at you.
Yeah.
Maybe literally. And you'd get chased away. But no, I was thinking that if you know, it's very easy for these clubs because they are sort of hotbeds of politics and infighting and things. That,
yeah.
But you've got some kind of static engine club that gets overtaken or taken over by perverts, and suddenly all the static engines are being used to do slightly sexual things. And the sort of you trad Fred Dibner types are just driven away by it. I had to leave the club.
Actually, half of them are like they're intrigued. Yeah, they're like it's smutty. I'll give you that. But you know what? I watched a bit more of it the other night.
A broad-minded sort of book, and you know, each to their own. But some of it's very intricate. The carving work on the ends, on the bell piece, if you like, as we call it.
Bell
sometimes.
Piece. Oh gosh, Richard, is it stooped on the 100th episode?
Well,
so
it's
badly.
Yes. How was that 100th episode?
Trying to think
of
like famous 100. Related things in the automotive world that we could spark up a chit chat, and all I could think of was Audi 100.
Yeah,
and that's it.
I was going to be terribly clever and go, I've made a list of cars with 100 in the name, and we can chat about that. And I forgot to do it, but also because I thought of the Audi 100, and then I kind of went, okay, and the Rover 100.
Oh yeah, the Rover 100, which was the artist formerly known as the Metro.
Yes. Yeah. And that's sort of it.
It sort of ended. Quite quickly, that did. What did
the
Audi 100 become? Did it
the A6?
It become the A6. Because the 80 became the A4.
Yeah, but the 100 actually had a midlife transformation in the same body shell to become the A6. Whereas the A4, it was like when the generation changed, it became.
Because it did the whole boxy to aero thing, which is quite a big change for Audi. Audi went into that massive aero era.
Yeah.
Aero era.
So it was, yes, that was a good era, that. I was talking about that on Twitter the other week, about the Audi 80, the Aero 80, you sort of forget what an amazing looking car
It was a great car. And in fact, there's a guy that's converted one in Ireland to electric.
Really?
An 80 Avant.
Oh.
And it looks wonderful because it looks stock.
Yeah, yeah.
And he uses it most days, but it's got the guts of an EV. I forget which guts. It's a combination. It's like a Tesla motor with leaf batteries or something. But
okay.
Needless to say, I was impressed. It looked cool.
That's good.
It were cool. Problem was, it were at the steam rally and the boot opened and it had a load of smutty tools in it with reciprocating saw with dick on end.
Yeah, I went to open door. He's replaced all the handles with flashlights, the mucky bastards.
A big hydraulic drift handbrake that's basically just a huge veiny dong.
why were you going to bring up scale engines?
Because I'm trying to wean my son off watching shit stuff on YouTube.
Me too, to be
completely frank.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to come across it as a sort of like old, you know, grumpy git. So I was trying to dial into what I know he's interested in. He's interested in minutia, and he likes people that make dioramas and stuff, which is, I think he shares that interest with me.
Okay.
So I thought, well, hang on, and he likes engines and stuff. Whenever he hangs out with my brother, Uncle Greg, of course, Uncle Greg's always got oily hands.
Yeah.
So dealing with piston related matters. So I said, did you know that people make real engines, but they're tiny?
Mm.
And he went, what? Like, and put do they put them in stuff? And I said, some of them do.
Well, yeah.
Some of them
put them in their arseholes.
didn't say that.
There's an age when you need to discover that.
Didn't say that. But so I showed him. I said, there's people that make... And I said, you know the Dodge engine? I said, this is like the Dodge engine. He went, oh my gosh. He said, how big is that? And I showed him a couple of videos of people revving them on a wooden plinth.
How big is it with a... With a
it's smaller it than...
Like a Hemi?
Yeah, it's smaller than this. It's smaller than a shoebox.
Okay.
So like a small serving plate, let's say.
Okay.
You know, like the sort of plate you'd get at a buffet event, not a full dinner.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Maybe this? What's that?
That's about the size of the plates that we have at home that were the cheap IKEA ones we give the kids toast on.
Okay, well, then you
So there we go. There's a very precise metric now.
Industry standard. That's what we're going to call it. So, yeah, but it's, you know, carbureted. It's got real exhaust headers. It's got a tiny distributor. It's just wonderful.
Wow.
And then there's other people making radial engines like that.
The distributor alone...
I know, gorgeous.
Must be... Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's all scaled down.
It's all scaled down. And how some people have made
like a
V12.
Rotor arm, like the size of a...
Absolutely tiny.
Like a... Well, I was going to say...
Well, the carb. The carb is... One of them made... I found it. One guy made a flat six Porsche engine, and it's about the size of a big man's hand. sorry about that. It's not a great reference, I know.
Well, it's that thing because an asteroid fell to Earth last week, didn't it? And the people, some people from NASA or something, went, yes, it was about the size of half a giraffe.
Somebody said that, and it's like, it's not a great shaped creature to reference.
I know. It's like, did it have a neck?
Because it's all neck.
Which half of the giraffe? I was thinking that. I was like, if it's the tail end, but then it's got legs. They've got really long legs. What a bizarre metric.
Got a small body, long, thin legs, and of course a very long, actually quite wide neck, I think. I think the neck's a big muscle for a giraffe.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Because obviously otherwise it would be a bit like, you know those tractors that have those weights clipped on the
front
to counterbalance whatever's on the back?
Yeah.
You'd put way too many on and then you'd unhooked whatever you were towing. The pissing thing was going like this, nodding down the road, doing a sort of like endo.
Yeah, they're a finely tuned balancing act, giraffes. They're quite big though, aren't they? Because I've seen them
big.
Close at the zoo. They're sort of, but I mean, would you
they
say...
They do a lot of side saddle eating. You know, like a cow... And a camel, where the top, bottom jaw goes right. In fact, it's a bit like on a cam.
I know what you mean. Yes,
they chew with the bottom set of jaws. If anyone's
they're masticators, aren't they? That's
is that what it is? Yeah,
I think so.
It's same that... as those steam rally people.
Yeah, wookie bastards. The scientists, I believe, said that this thing was half a giraffe. And I was thinking, I was like, that is a weird comparison. And I was trying to think, because I was going, no, hang on, what is half a giraffe, though? Is that like a fridge freezer? Or are they a bit bigger than that?
Civic? I would have gone for more of a cuboid or a spherical object.
But just find something that's the same size, not something that's twice the size, so you have to express it as a fraction, because that's just weird.
It's just daft. Okay.
Yes, the asteroid fell to Earth. It was about 7/8 the size of Angela Lansbury. Okay, what?
It was like Elon Musk's forearm, but not the whole arm.
Just the forearm.
Right. Well, I don't even know how big Elon... How big is Elon Musk?
He's quite tall, isn't he?
Is he a tall one?
I think he's about 6 foot... Is he? Although, okay. I don't know. I mean, he's probably not. He probably just says he is and everyone accepts that.
You know, there's lots of memes with his face...
Yes.
...that kick around. I've noticed, as he's getting a little older, if you were to sort of put your hand over his hair, so you're just seeing his face...
Yeah.
...quite a similar face... to the woman that was in Total Recall that Arnold Schwarzenegger was that morphed into.
Oh.
Do you remember that? With the bad graphics where
yes.
She unlocks.
But
and
I can't sort of picture her face enough to say...
I think Elon Musk might become the woman from Total Recall.
I mean, it would be quite meta if his head split open to reveal... another face beneath it or something.
But smaller. So a bit like when an animal sheds its skin, you know, it climbs out of itself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That still freaks me out, right?
But they're not much smaller, are they? The skin is fairly tight-fitting. One might say it's skin-tight, in fact.
But no, it's not like an NBA suit.
Well, maybe a few years ago it was. Maybe snakes in the 90s had very baggy skin.
Imagine it's a Michael Jordan climbed out of his suit and he's about a third of the size? And you'd be like, I know he is, because his suit's so massive. It's just not a massive surprise. That would be a good reference point for Asteroids. It's about what? The size of an NBA awards ceremony suit.
What? But that's huge. Oh my God. If that asteroid had hit a town, it would have wiped it out. I mean,
yeah. Like a huge, like a parachute that's significant enough that you could drop this Tesla Y out of a plane, out of a Hercules, and it would float really slowly.
Really slowly.
And not damage. Not get damaged when it
landed. I think it would just hang there. So what, much air trapped underneath it, it would just hang.
Would it catch,
hang like a,
would
you know,
it catch a thermal?
Yeah,
go
it's
up?
Just like... Every evening on the weather, they're just going, and the Tesla's now over Nottingham, so do watch out for that. No chance of it coming
just
down.
Just like a scene out of another Fast and Furious film where the stunts are real but so far-fetched. You're just like, why is Vin Diesel now jumping from one hot air balloon to another hot air balloon to another
have
hot
they,
air balloon?
I'm trying to think. Have they ever done hot air balloons in Fast and Furious?
No, I think they're too slow. And, of course, it goes against the nature of the actual film. Fast and Furious featuring
slow and directionless
featuring which is I think is the best title for Smith and Sniff's podcast in
what way. Slow and directionless,
yeah, I think so, yeah, do you know what I mean?
It's pretty accurate. Maybe that's it. Since we're at the 100 mark, we should rebadge
sort of,
like the Rover 100.
I think it'd be like a Shelby Cobra on Space Saver tyres that someone's put nitrous kit on it when you clearly didn't need it and it keeps kicking in on like 10% throttle.
A nitrous kit with a really dicky connection that just randomly starts doing its thing.
But you're on like 135s. The thing is absolutely, it's, you know, like it's a like a pro bull rider where when it's released you're just hanging on by a thread and this thing's just trying to whip you constantly.
I feel like that's a good challenge, like how trying to make the most undrivable car that you can. And
it's the taming of the wolf, I mean, or the lion. It's a great idea.
Mm.
Do you know what?
Or
that...
the riding, like those riding the bull, those bull machines you get in.
Yeah.
In
pubs.
Shit bars.
Usually,
yeah,
it's usually
yeah.
pubs. Sports bars.
Sports bars.
Sports.
One of those. So anyway, to recap, you're showing your lad the
scale working engines,
and is he interested in this?
Yeah, he thinks it's incredible. Yeah. What he's now said was, he said, "Oh, he said, so you can't just buy one." I said, "Not really. I think there's a couple of companies now that build batches of bits."
What was that? For people listening, we're also filming this with the intention of putting it on YouTube, I suppose. But the camera just shut down.
It might shut down every half an hour. I don't know.
So that hasn't
new
quite,
file
hasn't quite worked out the way that we thought. But anyway, never mind. We're back now. You've gone very because we decided to put this on camera. You've gone very on brand. You've got a Smith & Sniff hoodie on.
I'm really glad you said that, Richard. Thanks for
taking
that up.
Where would one get such a thing, Johnny?
See, we've decided, as it's the 100th episodal anniversary of the Smith & Sniff podcast, we're going to put a sale on.
Yes.
These are high quality, and this is not because we overordered in the first place. These are normally £45, and they are high quality, but we're selling them for £25.
That's a bargain.
It is an absolute effing bargain, but when they're gone, they're gone.
That's it.
Okay.
It's an unrepeatable offer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just 20 minutes from this cinema.
It's like £25.
But you've
pounds.
Also, what have you got here? You've got a Carperv
yeah,
coffee cup.
I have, but you can buy these, obviously, in Smith & Sniff flavours.
Yeah, I've got my Smith & Sniff water bottle, but I left it in my Range Rover, which is next to us. That camera does not want to play ball, does
I think
it?
It's overheated.
Oh, no.
Well, it does happen when, yeah. when it sits in this area.
Okay, well, maybe there won't be a video... of this,
there might be though. Let's see. It's not,
because
it's
not working, but that's okay. Anyway,
there is a temperature warning on it.
Oh, is there? They're very finickety.
I've actually never seen that symbol before. I wonder if I could put a cloth over it.
Just pour some water over it. That'll cool it down.
Yeah, pour some stuff on it. That's absolutely brilliant idea. He's not had good ideas like that for a while. I'm just. Have you got?
We're in a kind of Muttley, do something situation, which is.
I normally have a baseball cap, which I could have put a cap over it, but I.
But then it wouldn't be able to see. And that would be.
Have you got like a cloth?
No. No, I don't.
I've got a delivery day Model Y tag.
Explain to me why you have this Tesla Model Y.
I've actually borrowed this car. I couldn't get it from Tez themselves for the job I wanted. I'm going to go on a road trip in it and do a bit of a real world long distance review of it. But I've borrowed it not from Tesla themselves. I actually borrowed it from someone who I must name check called R. Simons EVs. They sell EVs. Only
and R. Simons,
yeah, Richard.
Oh, I see. Not like the sort of northern
people referring to
R. Simons got an EV rental business.
It actually might be Simmons. You're making me paranoid now, but I'm sure it's Simmons. S Y M O N D, M O N S, not D on the end. Anyway,
the D is silent.
The point is, they've always been really good at buying and selling used EVs, and they bought my Chevy Volt off me. Do you remember my Volt? We actually did a Smith & Sniff in it.
Yeah, we did.
Maybe two. And when I had to sell it, they bought it. So they've lent me this, which is 1,000 mile wide. But you'll find out in a future episode of The Late Break Show what I'm really doing with it and whether I like it, etc.
Yes. All right, we'll keep your powder dry.
Well, I would say it's a damn sight firmer than I was expecting.
Yes, I've read the reviews that say the ride is a bit on the bumpy side, and that displeases me because I'd honestly consider one of these. This is the first time I've ever sat in one, because I'm still on Tesla's shit list because of my association with Top Gear. So I've never driven any modern era Tesla. I've only ever driven the Roadster.
You really? Which is ancient. It's 10 years old.
Yeah, I guess it would be.
Yeah, it's this is the most, I would say, the most appropriate all-round UK Tesla.
Well, that's what I thought.
I nearly said Tesla then, but I believe I want to say Tesla.
Tesla.
What do you think?
Tesla.
Yeah.
Tesla. Tesla.
I know people like Jeremy Clarkson say Nissan instead of Nissan. He says Nissan.
Yeah, he does. He also says Aston Martin.
What, like IN at the end?
Yeah.
Like a tin of beer.
Yes, Astin. Well, Astin. No, I can't do it.
Aston.
It's just one of those things where, like, once you notice it, it's like, obviously, because I had to listen to him and the other Top Gear Grand Tour presenters talking a lot for various reasons. Yeah, not just the in the office, but then doing voiceover and things as well and reviewing the films and stuff. And he always says Aston Martin the same way that James May, once you've noticed it, you can't unnotice the way that he says nearly instead of nearly. Have I mentioned this before? Because it's his Bristol roots.
It's the Gloucestershire kind of vibe, isn't it, that he gives off?
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely
there
it's
are
the
certain
West Country
words.
But you don't say nearly, and you're from down that
no,
way.
No, I don't say nearly. No.
It's a
shame. I almost wish I was a little bit more West Country sounding.
Well, you could always ham it up.
Because then it makes it... Whenever I say I'm from Somerset, I always feel like there's a certain element... Certain people will go, he's not. or, you know, like he was posted down there to boarding school. It's like, I really wasn't. I was not.
Is that like when...
that did not happen.
I always feel like when I'll say to someone, oh, I'm from the north. And they'll go, oh, yeah. I go, yeah, no, honestly, I am.
Do they do a northern test on you?
Well, yeah. What do you call the evening meal?
That's exactly what they would say.
But then that doesn't check out because it's like weirdly, I don't sort of say tea for evening meal, but my kids do because they picked it up from the lady who looks after them sometimes, who is a Londoner, and she says tea instead of dinner. So it's not necessarily
a northernism.
A northernism, which is odd because I thought it was up until that point. But anyway, where were we?
Tez.
So
I think, yeah, I do think, I mean, I haven't had a chance to dissect too much. I've just borrowed it. I'm going to use it. I'm intrigued by it. And the thing about Teslas that I've said a lot before, because before you get cut down by the disciples of Tesla, I think you have to point out that there's no doubt, I still think the drivetrain of this car and the software are still leading the world.
Okay. Yeah.
This is a revolutionary car.
What always intrigues me about these cars is that revolutionary electronically and electrically, they're revolutionary. They are incredibly conventional structurally, aren't they? This is just a steel monocoque car.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think there's anything particularly clever about it. And I remember that guy, Munro, the people who did the teardown stuff, and he analysed the Model 3, and he said, "Was the effect of it had electronics from the future and the body engineering of a 90s Kia."
Yeah, but then I guess
a pretty damning insult, I guess.
I suppose, but then again, how do you make money? Like, if this had, if this had the build quality and of a Taycan, right? Then they would all be 100+ grand.
Well,
the software of this is incredible.
Yeah,
the efficiency of the batteries and the motor are unrivaled still.
Kia
and Hyundai, I'd say, come close.
Yes, I've always found the Kia stuff and the Hyundai stuff to be sort of the most best at predicting its own range. Did you hear that? That's Ferrari starting up, isn't it?
I reckon that is a Ferrari. Yeah, and there was an Aston Martin that was
there. Was there was a DBS, DBS.
Dubs
Volante.
It's DBs.
Two more
DBs.
From him later.
It's just DBs, isn't it? It's just decibels.
So I was always sort of thinking about BMW i3, and you know, I suppose that's the thing. This is supposed to be the i3 was meant to be a mass-produced car. It was, really.
Yeah.
But it had a full carbon body and everything, and that's futuristic.
The dashboard of that car, design-wise, and bold, unique use of materials, is still far and away beyond most.
Yeah.
If you compare that car to when you get in a VW ID.
Yes,
the ID
looks
like it was made 12 years previous.
Yeah.
And yet it wasn't. It's the other way around.
You can see where all the corners have been cut in those IDs, can't you?
You can. But VW used to be really good at hiding cut corners.
Mm.
They were the masters of it with Golfs.
Yeah.
You just didn't notice.
Mm.
Whereas the ID series, you do.
I'm slightly distracted as we're talking because we're parked next to my Range Rover and all I can see on it is all of that bloody sand that came from the sky the other day.
Did you have sky sand? I don't remember.
Did you not get it up your way?
No, we just got an incredible amount of wind and rain.
Oh, okay. No, there was one of those, you know, when the sort of weather front comes up from the Sahara.
Yeah.
And just shit sand all over everything. Yeah. Honestly, it was because I saw it online, people talking about it, and it was raining in London, and I thought, oh, it doesn't look very sandy. And then I looked outside later, and like our outside table, it just looks like someone dumped some sand on it. And look at the door handles on my car. Look at it.
It does look like you've had an afternoon at the
sand.
Beach.
I know. It's really annoying. It's even more annoying.
Where do Londoners go to the beach? Brighton.
Or you could go over to Southend.
Oh yeah.
Southend or across to
I was in Southend not long ago driving the recreation Porsche 917.
Oh yeah. I haven't watched that yet. Sorry.
Very exciting.
I know. I was quite jealous. I wasn't because I sort of, on the one hand, it's a bit like Don't Meet Your Heroes, but
it's very difficult to get into. Mm. I'm not going to lie.
I know. Were your legs splayed?
Do you know what?
At a steam rack.
It wasn't. In the end, it wasn't the legs that were the issue. In the end, it was the neck and the head.
Oh, okay.
And that's with having not a lot of hair.
Yeah.
You had to get right down. It's basically a karting seat, a tillet karting seat. You had to get your head right down, and there was you had to have your head off to the right a little where the sort of semi gull wing type door thing. They're not gull wings, but you know what I mean. They're cut in so far.
Yeah.
What an amazing piece of work, though. Two men in a shed with an incredible amount of talent and CAD.
What, CAD?
Yeah, one of them's a design engineer.
Oh, okay.
Dave.
Right.
He's designed lots of tailgates for Fords since about 1980.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's a tailgate man.
He does a lot of tailgating.
He should get himself down to a steam fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a hairspray shop.
That's,
wow. Okay, so he used his skills to...
They bought off of Pistonheads in 2011.
I saw the body panels
that were moulded off David Piper's original 917. Who's had it since it was new.
Mm.
And he only sold it, I think, 2 years ago. So they knew that it was dimensionally correct. The panels were dimensionally correct. Lots of people thought about buying it but didn't because they were like, well, what do you do with it? Because actually the hardest part of a 917 is all of the lattice work of metal underneath.
Yeah. Okay.
And, of course, a flat 12, which you can't just magic out of a hat.
Yeah.
Like a magician.
Glue a couple of 996 engines together and hope for the best.
So this car is a flat six with a 964 air-cooled motor, but it's on throttle bodies and stuff, and it is quite angry. but fun.
Mm.
The rest is as authentic as you will ever get.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it looks...
Yeah, it's brilliant, honestly. It's and it's road legal. IVA'd, blah.
That's quite nuts.
It is, yeah. They've gone to the ends of the earth.
Christ, do you remember when we were at Goodwood last year, a couple of years ago, and there was that real 970?
There was a 970.
They started it
we
up.
Were there when they struck it up, weren't we?
Jesus.
I know.
That was extraordinary.
It were hardcore, it were.
It were.
Yeah.
It were.
I got moved on, unfortunately. I had some sort of like mahogany phallus piece. I had my hands tied by my back and a Bramley apple stuffed hastily into my mouth.
You look like a suckling pig.
I was being wheeled around. The harder I pedalled, the more it pistoned, unfortunately.
Was it Lord March hands over to his his relative, Lord February or something, who turns out to be a massive
Lord
perv.
Lord February.
And he's constantly just he's like, okay, right, now, you know how normally they go, no, you have to be wearing a collar and tie to get in the paddock at the revival or whatever, but he's like, no, you have to be wearing leather to get in there, please.
Leather.
Something leather, preferably a mask or something.
Yeah, could you? With eye holes and zip holes. Thank you. It's the Goodwood Fistful of Seed.
Goodwood Fist.
It's the Goodwood Fistful of Seed.
Well, now hang on. They could run this as a sort of sister thing. They could run it in parallel.
It's just so you've good, got your, glorious Goodwood. Glorious.
Those are the posters. It's just they've got a very conspicuous gap between good and wood, and it's deliberate.
Yes,
and,
good.
And people
glorious.
Who know go, okay. No, all
definitely.
Right. Yeah. I went to that slightly kinky Goodwood thing the other day. More steam engines there than I was expecting, but hell, it was a bit strong.
They were driving some terrible looking contraptions.
And those leather belts going around as well. It's
just hitting old men's spotty bottoms.
Oh dear.
Yeah, not cool. Sorry, it's not what I signed up for. Anyway, yeah.
Well, I can't remember what else I was going to talk to you.
I was going to talk. Besides some scale model engines,
You know, last week we were talking about Marillion.
Oh gosh, yes.
And then I was listening back to the podcast, and we were speculating on that Top of the Pops clip and how it, the weird perspective, it made Fish look about 20 feet tall compared to the rest of the band. Yeah. But I was like, now I seem to recall that Fish is very tall. So I went onto Google and typed in how tall is Fish. But it's a weird thing to type in. So I think it thinks you're an absolute moron and you're typing in how tall is a fish. Because fish aren't tall, they're
tall.
Long.
I was going to say, assuming it can stand at any point in time.
The great white shark is nature's tallest fish. And you go, well, there's not much in it, actually. I mean, they're all pretty sort of slender dimensionally in that.
It's such just, a tall fish.
What a tall fish. Wow. God, your fish has got tall, hasn't it?
That Top of the Pops clip still haunts me with just how awful it is, really. The eyes to camera.
Yeah, I watched it again after we talked about it.
Did you giggle?
Yeah, I did giggle, but I was still trying to work out that conversation we had not on the podcast about what cars the various members of Marillion drove at
that
point
moment
they made
in time.
That song, and definitely American imports.
Well, at least one of them would have had an American import because it was the done thing.
Either one that's far too big for Britain and just causes him constant aggro, or a really disappointing something based on a K car.
I'm going to say that. So it looks American, but it's not actually impressive American.
It's just horrible. It's just inconveniently American because it's left-hand drive. You can't get the parts for it.
No, and it's slow.
It's shit. Yeah.
It's just a checklist.
Somehow it doesn't run right on British petrol for some reason.
It's just a checklist of gash things. Yeah. And in fact, that's what led to the downfall of Marillion. They lost their sort of songwriting magic.
Because they were all distracted trying to... Is it... You know, we're saying about like incredibly strong Northern tea.
Yeah.
Do you think 80s American cars, because they were used to running on that sort of like 87 RON American petrol that's got bits in it.
Less than 80s.
And I know it's calculated a different way, isn't it? But it's still weak-ass petrol.
Different RON.
And
different times, different
you
RON.
You feed it British petrol and it would be like someone who doesn't really drink tea having strong Northern tea where they just the car's kind of going, it's a bit much.
Oh yeah, they're tapping their hearts.
Oh God!
Oh, that one's gone down the wrong way.
You got any water? Oh, and that's what a LeBaron Cabrio, all white.
Oh gosh, what an awful
thing. But running
thing.
On decent spec Euro
petrol
is actually feeling a bit bilious because it's too much. It needs watery petrol. The other thing I was going to bring up this week is actual bit of news. Did you see last week, I think it was, that BMW have bought Alpina?
Yes, I did. Because there was a lot of hoo-ha on social media about...
There was hoo-ha,
wasn't there? Are they going to ruin it?
Yeah.
Are they going to sort of water it down? And you can get an Alpina line...
Yeah.
...base model 320D.
I kind of think they wouldn't do that because they already have M Spalt and they don't need to muddy the waters.
They bloody shouldn't.
What I wanted to bring up with you, though, is... Let me just float this out here. I have driven a few Alpina cars over the years and I have never driven one that was anything less than fantastic. They're just brilliant. There's just something about them. They're just really well judged. They're a bit faster, but they also have this little, always have a lovely, lovely chassis.
It's fast touring rather than in motorsport orientated.
Yes, that's it. They don't go hardcore on the chassis. They go sort of... there's this sort of excellent balance of comfort and dynamism, and they're almost
triple,
like just sort of
triple stitching, isn't it? Always triple stitching.
There's a bit of coloured stitching. Well, this is what I was going to say, because they are in fact like lever. It's like BMWs where the bag's been left in a bit longer, just a little bit stronger, but without ruining the
bag's been left in a bit longer. It's
but
here's
what I'm going to say. I've always enjoyed driving Alpina cars. I fucking hate their stupid alloy wheels.
Too fussy.
Yeah. And they're side stripes as well, which I know you don't have to have.
You wouldn't go side stripes.
Oh, I hate this. I mean, it's all right on like an E21 or something where it looks very
80,
period.
So yeah.
But on a modern one, and thankfully most of you see them without now, but the wheels, if I saw, weirdly, I saw an Alpina B5 yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah. And it made a great noise.
Yeah.
And it looked tremendous.
It caught your eye.
Caught my eye, but it caught my eye because I was going, oh, look at those awful fussy wheels on that otherwise rather handsome car. So I think it had a little bit of a body kit, but just, you know, where basically you've taken the hem down a little bit.
Yeah.
Side skirts a little bit.
The front's almost, it still harks back to the 80s chin spoiler, doesn't it, if it has the pinstripe?
Yes.
Is the Alpina backwards on the front?
Ooh, I should don't know.
You know, like, is it Quattro that did that?
Quattro, yeah, those... They did,
used to
they?
Have the lettering
and
backwards.
On the 2002 Turbo.
That's right, Turban. Yeah,
and something else did it as well.
Yeah.
Well, ambulances obviously they love it.
They love a bit of reverse. We're coming.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah. What the hell's that luridly painted
Alpina,
van behind me?
That's what they're missing out on. Alpina ambulances. You could get a BMW X7 Alpina.
Yeah.
Ambulance.
With a big fiberglass box on the back.
Massive. That would render an X7 useful.
Yeah. Good point.
Because it's a well-made car. It's just vulgar.
Yeah. It's just horrid.
So I'm thinking sort of like I'm thinking rural counties ambulance. But Alpina go, listen, do a little bit. It's good PR, charitable. Let's just do a couple of those. And
I wonder
brilliant.
If. Your local health service would go, yeah, unfortunately we can't do your grandmother's hip replacement because we've spunked all our money on
it. I spent 300 grand on an Alpina ambulance.
Modified X7s. It's okay. If she falls over, though, because of her bad hip, my God, we'll get her to hospital quickly.
And it's comfortable, Rich. It's not just about quickness. It's comfort.
Yeah.
I really like it. I've never owned an Alpina. There was a fantastic one that turned up to the Late Break Show Somerset event. And it's one of two right-hand drive... No, it isn't right-hand drive. One of two in the UK. And it's a turbo, was it? What number was it?
What was it based on?
Turbo. 5 series.
Oh, okay.
Shark nose fives.
Oh, okay. So
is it 535?
Yeah, so it would have been a B... What do they call them back then?
I don't know.
Because it wasn't just B5,
the badge,
was it?
The badge had been stolen. It's the only thing that... The car was unrestored. The interior was so Larry-coloured, chunky corduroy.
Was it green? Like a sort of jade green?
No. I've got a picture of it. I have got a photo of it. And the guy was brilliant. The guy uses it regularly.
Oh.
And it's not mint. It's weathered nicely.
I can sort of hear that car in my head. With a lovely
PR manager of Suzuki UK is a massive Alpina fanatic.
He is, isn't he?
He's got some choice ones. I don't know if he minds me saying that, but I'm going to say it. He has.
Have you seen them?
seen pictures. Yeah, they're really nice examples. In fact, I think Top Gear have borrowed at least one of them in the past.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, for like, you know, historical features and all
that. I always quite like that when PR people for car companies are really into another car company.
I like it.
It's like, it shows that they're properly interested in cars.
It does, and it's also, you're not blinkered by thinking everything that you sell is the best or appropriate for you.
The chap who does Polestar PR, he's a Saab enthusiast, he's a Saab, isn't he?
Saab, actual offender, yeah. So, serial offender.
And there was a guy who used to run Renault PR, and then he had a Honda NSX tucked away.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, naughty.
We won't name these people.
But, no, we won't name.
Or give away their home addresses.
But, no, but it's just interesting. It's a bit like when you meet someone that has an eclectic couple of cars that are like polar opposites of one another.
Yes,
I'm always down with that.
Yeah, that's why I'm quite excited about getting my E up, because I feel like it's the polar opposite of that Range Rover.
Oh, it couldn't be further away from
so they
that.
Make a
Can
good
you
double
afford
act.
To drive that home today?
No,
just
it needs petrol to get home.
I mean, like, you have checked the price.
My wife actually said to me, she went, "Which car are you taking to go and meet Johnny?" And I went, "Oh, I was just going to take the Range Rover." And she went, "You know, it needs petrol." And I was like, "Yeah." And she went, "Like, are you sure?"
Yeah.
I said, but then she's incredibly cautious about fuel, quarter of a tank, and she's like, "Oh my god, need to go and fill up."
Oh, that's brilliant. So she's no stranger to a slurry filled old car fuel tank then, where you wouldn't never run it below quarter in the olden days.
Or that when I had that Lexus LS 400, the only thing that didn't work on it was a fuel gauge.
Did it?
Yeah.
Hang on. Something on a Lexus didn't work.
I know.
I don't believe you.
Because I thought the clock didn't work, but then it turned out when you saw it in direct sunlight, it was just really faded out. So that I put that off the not working list. It was just not working to an optimum level. That probably, if anyone in Japan at the Lexus factory found out, they'd probably resign immediately. But, the fuel gauge, because I picked it up and I assumed it was just on fumes.
Sugar.
Filled it up, got in again and went, lights. The gauge was on zero and the light was on all the time, obviously, so the light still worked.
So you just got to put gallonage in and
just
set
zero the trip. Always zero the trip.
Always.
You must have done this. You must have cars with no.
Oh, yeah.
Does your Beetle even have a fuel gauge?
My Beetle has a fuel gauge, but it works off a weight attached to a cable.
Really?
It's not a weight, sorry, a float.
Yeah.
So the problem is it has to move 90 degrees over the fuel tank. So what if it's got a small kink in it, which means it doesn't always work smoothly.
Yeah,
I've tried to fettle it years ago. But all I know is that when it gets to quarter, it's empty. It kind of hits a false wall.
Yeah, yeah.
And doesn't... Because when you go around corners, it does that sort of slight slosh. Yeah. It's quite charming.
Cars don't do that anymore, do they?
No. And when you fill it up, it goes beyond full. That's why you know that when it hits a quarter.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When I brim it now, it goes out of... It actually goes off the chart.
Can you just move the scale? Like, I used to have a girlfriend who got a Polo as a company car, and when it was delivered, she'd just driven it back from her office, and I was insured on it, and I went, I'm going to have a go in your new car because I need to pop out somewhere. And I was driving along, I looked down, the temp gauge has gone into the red, and I was like, oh my shitting hell,
did you kill the engine?
Her new car's overheating already. So I pulled over,
yeah,
and I was like, wait a second, no it's not. And somehow the gauge was configured wrong.
What?
So, I hadn't noticed this, that when you switched off, it only went back to the middle point.
Oh, shit, it was half.
So,
half
normal was, in fact, sitting in the red.
Did
and
she not? She hadn't noticed?
She hadn't noticed.
Amazing.
And I had to go back to the useless VW garage near where we lived at that point. And they had to have the whole dash out to sort this out. It's just a weird fault.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what an odd thing. Also, why it wasn't spotted in the PDI, because it's like, as soon as you turn the ignition on, you'd have probably noticed that the... Well, you wouldn't actually. You'd turn the ignition on and gone, oh, look, the gauge is at middle point already and the engine's cold. But I guess that's the thing. If you're trying to PDI like 100 cars a day, you're not being that forensic about it. So
I have to say, I've had range anxiety with fuel-engined, you know, pistoned cars in the last few months, way more than EVs. Way more.
Yeah.
Did it in the Jimny, where it has a small tank anyway.
Yeah.
So you know that when it gets to a reserve bar, there's not a lot in there.
Mm.
And then when that starts flashing, and then there's an alert on the dash. Basically, you've got several pipettes. And, and if you're driving in high wind, which I was, even at slow speed, because you're driving a Jimny, I was paranoid. I was doing the whole dip the clutch, put it in neutral.
Oh, really?
Yeah, going round roundabouts in neutral, like an absolute
goon. Oh, no, I hate doing that.
Well, needs must. Yeah. It wasn't count. Whereas the Beetle, because I know it's faulty, I factor that in. It doesn't have a trip because it's not that advanced, but I carry a gallon, old school.
Oh.
I carry a gal.
Yeah.
Although...
Watch him, he's carrying a gal.
Although, right now, a gallon is about up. £9.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. You've got... I think it probably is more, isn't it?
Yeah, so you're just filling up this thing that you use for the mower, because I did the first mower of the year a week or so ago, and it was exciting.
You want to get the kids out there with some nail scissors. You can't afford to petrol mow anymore.
Do you know, I'm wondering whether or not that I might have to put the hater on ice.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a rap track, but unfortunately it's not. It's simply it's a British mower that has a piston engine. Put the haters on ice.
I'm going to put the haters on ice. I was listening to the radio. I had Radio 1 on the way up because my wife had been driving that car and she always puts on Radio 1, clinging to youth. But it was Greg James, who I like.
I can relate.
So I had a track came on by Central C, I think, was the artist. I don't know if you're familiar with his oeuvre.
I think I know the track that you're going to talk
about. It's called...
Sorry, the camera just keeps cutting off. It's too hot.
It's really having
It's because it's in direct sunlight. Mardi, it's being an absolute stroker.
What a Mardi camera.
So if you're watching this, as opposed to listening to this, you've actually missed maybe loads. A quarter of the entire video.
But the...
Central C. Is it something like A Whip Abroad or A House Abroad?
No. A Place in the Sun. So you're just listing daytime TV shows. And then The Chase. Oh God, what is the track called? Go Around Again, something like that. Anyway, I was convinced that one of the lyrics was that he needed to have a poo and then just went straight back on. It's Straight Back On It or something like that, it's called.
Straight Back On It, what?
When I got here, I stopped and I could still remember, and I had to look up the lyrics to make sure I wasn't
Central
hearing
C.
him. Central C was not actually just talking about needing a poo. He wasn't.
You've heard that track, and I think it's by Dave, but again, I might be wrong. Arrived in a black Benz, went in a left in a white one.
I have heard that, yeah.
It's terrible. But it's not only terrible. As Sideways Sid pointed out, a chap who's a YouTuber who listens to this podcast.
Hello, Sid.
He kindly pointed out, he said, have you seen the video to that? I went, no. He said, the thing is that he has got a black and a white Benz, but they're like sort of like mid-ranking turbo diesels. It's not like you're pointing at AMG.
If it was an American doing that track, it would have been a couple of SLSs or something.
Oh, it would have been. It would have been something Brabus AMG, and really GT, unobtainable. Yeah. This dude's got company car tax written all over him.
One of them's a C-Class coupe.
But it's like base engine, but nothing special.
Do you remember there's that period of music videos?
It's frugal rappers, that is.
Rapping. Yeah.
It's recession. Frugal rapping. It's recession rapping. It's like, I'm not buying an AMG because the running cost of just ludicrous.
Look, I've had this from nearly new. Not new, that would be stupid. I bought it, I was the second owner, but I got a good deal on it.
Yeah.
It's never given me any trouble. No. So I'm just keeping it.
Is that your frugal rap? Is that your
frugal rap?
Frugal rap. Yeah.
That era of music videos where they're always like low down camera and lots of people doing that.
Oh yeah, you're really gesticulating aggressively at.
And
the
often
low camera.
One of those shots, there would be a car in the back of shot, and classically it would be like an SLS with both doors up or something like that.
Bentley Arnage was popular,
but then it was around the time when UK Garage was quite a thing, and they used to do videos like that. But it was like a lot of them, the most they could afford on the budget they got was to like rent a TT or something.
Yeah.
And it was always just a bit unsatisfying.
Oh, of course
just
it was.
You prancing around in sort of very, very, what it looked like expensive clothes, but it's like it's a Focus ST in the back of shot or something. It's not.
Well, they would say it's keeping it real.
I suppose, yeah.
But is it though?
Yeah, UK All Night Garage.
UK.
In your Focus ST.
Is a bit like, the car's misfiring. do you know what I mean, mate?
Garage, the back of shot is just an arch under the arches in somewhere in South London, and there's like a Corsa up on a ramp.
Oh, mate. I wouldn't drive it away.
There's also all of the... There's some in-car driving shots, but they've always got the plastic on the seat.
They've always got the plastic on the seat.
What a paper. Big square of...
Square of paper with feet drawn on them.
Yeah.
Just to remind you what it's for. But there'd be a couple of grubby finger marks. Every time I used to take my car to a garage, it would have a different radio station. It would have Kiss.
Oh, that's rude.
It was always Kiss.
No, that's rude. I won't have that.
So they probably were listening to actual UK garage.
Yeah.
Whilst being a British garage...
Yeah.
But doing that whole thing of like, yeah, ooh, do you know what? That job is either going to be labour intensive but a cheap part, or it's a really quick fix, but the part's 4 weeks,
yeah,
5 weeks. And you're like, that's just not helpful. None of that's helpful.
We should probably start wrapping this up. I was going to ask what we've learnt in the last 100 episodes.
Frugal wrapping up.
And I sort of feel like the answer is nothing. We've learned what Sade drives, allegedly.
Yeah, we haven't had any more intel about Sade.
What I will say is we've had a lot of people diving in on the biggest engine capacity spread.
Yeah, we have.
We'll come back to that next week because yeah. I've correlated some of the messages. We've had some very good
I've had some
thoughts.
DMs that I need to probably forward to you. About
people
that.
Been sliding into your DMs
yeah,
with engine
and
capacity
don't,
stuff.
I don't like it because I can't search my DMs and
yeah,
I get
annoying,
bogged down.
Yeah.
Get bogged down.
So we'll come back to that next week. But we've had then I had an email from someone which I think might be the winner because they pulled something out that I hadn't even thought of. I thought I personally
sounds like a steam
this.
Rally rendezvous, yeah. Smutty steam rally. What have we learned? I think I can't. If you were to sit me down and go name all the things we've talked about, I couldn't even remember a tenth of what we've talked about.
No,
unfortunately, but. I can remember. I know that certain sayings or memories. Sorry, it's my hourly chime. Certain memories have stuck on that side of things. Obviously, non-stop talking. John the auto electrician.
Yeah.
Dragon's Den. No, not Dragon's Den. The Apprentice.
Oh yes. Oh yes. The Alan Sugar's.
I was going to try and do an Alan Sugar thing, but I couldn't remember. Remember that.
Well, anyway, well, this carries on. This is not. I just thought.
Oh yeah, we've got the glossary. I don't need to say anything.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah.
We've
we should.
These,
I feel
glossary.
Like I will put the glossary. I did put it up on the Patreon. I will put it sort of permanently on the Patreon, maybe, and we'll keep adding to it, or we'll invite people to
that's
contribute.
That's a good idea.
And gradually, it will become a compendium of shite, just like this podcast. But anyway, yeah.
This is a living, breathing compendium.
It's
of shite.
Yeah. And onwards and upwards. But for now, before we go, I've got three things to tell you. First of all, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Late Break Show. Lots of excellent videos on there, including him driving a road-legal Porsche 917 replica. Second thing I've got to tell you is I've got various books out, and if you're listening to this on Monday that the show goes out, why not go and buy my Porsche 911 off Collecting Cars?
There you go.
Everything must go.
Who needs
oh, and don't forget,
you
if you want Smith & Sniff merch, go to thelatebreakshow.com and look for the merch tab, and we've got some stuff on there, including some bargain hoodies.
Hoodies. We're running a special on hoodies.
Have those still got, are those ones with Otsot written on the back?
Yeah, they are, yeah. Lovely.
Yeah, if you want a black hoodie with Otsot written on the back, and who doesn't, then please
and
get in there
thick
before they
and
go.
And they're high quality.
They are good quality, aren't they? They're not what Alan Sugar would call turp.
They are not. Listen, I bought one of those hoodies off of you, off of that website with the shop and all that. I put it on and it was a frosty morning, like the frost had to be removed from the front of my car by someone else.
By someone else.
So, and I can stand here in this meeting room and point at you and say the following. It's a very good quality garment. And I am glad that I put some money in your hand for that.
Lovely schmutter, he'd say as well, wouldn't he?
That is not tur. That is quality gear.
The third thing I've got to tell you is that traditional Japanese sushi didn't used to have salmon in it until Norway started putting salmon sashimi together. And they basically pitched it in a delegation to Japan.
The Norwegians
basically invented
salmon
in sushi, and now you'd struggle to find a Japanese restaurant anywhere in the world that doesn't put salmon on the menu.
So Norway just cleverly went, hey, we've got a little bit of salmon.
You like fish, you guys?
Yeah.
Would you like some of our fish?
This is healthy fish.
We're not sure.
Try it. You'll like it.
Brilliant. Yeah. Do you know, that's why the Norwegians are as cool as they are. Mm. Because they have an abundance of oil and gas, but they don't really use it themselves. They just sell it to mugs. and they've got an abundance of salmon. And they quite like their salmon, but they've got too much.
Well, so auxiliary fact that the Norwegian love of EVs, such as this very Tesla that we're sitting in, is slightly down to AHA.
Yes.
That's a story for another day.
But that is a fantastic really story. I know the story. It's a good one.
Anyway, that's kind of it for today. Thank you for joining us here at Bulldog Services.
Thank you. Do you know
you've made it this far.
Thanks for listening to the cast, formerly known as a video. Much appreciated. The interaction's wonderful. And we never plan these. I'd love to say we do, but we don't. We don't script or plan them. We have absolutely no idea what we're going to talk about. Loosely hanging around automotive themes, but not really. I mean, today, not really at all.
No, sorry about the steam rally stuff. Hope no one was listening with this.
And yeah, it's onwards to...
To 200.
To 200. Audi again.
We're just going to ping between Audi, so...
Then we'll go into Peugeot soon.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Oh shit, no wait, because we could go American Audis, because it used to be the Audi 5000. That'd be, Jesus, we'd be doing this forever. Anyway, as part of that endeavour, we'll be back again same time next week. Until then, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
It's incredibly hot in here. I'm going to open the door.
This is when I'm not happy.
I've got a hot back.
I've got hot arms.
Well, you're wearing a very high quality thick hoodie.
I am, and normally I'm thankful for it, but today I'm bloody not.